This week on The Serious Side.
Julia and Lee, we appreciate it. I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot more jokes for the rest of the campaign here.
Oh,
just keep going.
What? Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
What is Fox News? It's just a parade of propaganda, isn't it? It's just a festival of ignorance. What? Why, a million
Fox
people
News?
Are dead in Iraq. Come on, this is ridiculous. What's the point of this? This is insane.
But actually what Islam does around the world, and we felt burning the Quran would be something of that magnitude.
It is the duty of Muslims to react. When the holy book, the Quran, gets burnt in public, then there's nothing left. If this happens, I think the first reaction that will follow is that wherever Americans are seen, no matter where they are in the world, they will be killed.
It does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I did not see a plane go in. That just exploded.
I just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of my
view. Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
Good morning and welcome to The Serious Side of the TJRS with your hosts, Jay, GOG, Miss Mo, and Rob Smooth, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe right here on BTR Radio. Good Sunday morning to you folks and welcome to The Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on BTR Radio. I'm your host, Jay Rao. We have so much to talk about this morning. Hope you guys have enjoyed your weekend up until this point. But let me introduce my partners in crime, my colleagues. Let me start off with a man that's the host of the GOG Experience with Nikisha and 60 Minutes with GOG. He's also a TGRS contributor. Let's say good morning to GOG. Good morning, GOG. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. I'm fine. How are you, my good friend?
I am doing well this morning, sir. I'm doing well. I can't wait to get into the conversation. So hope you have a great show today.
You too. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. It looks like you're a little low, so I don't know if you can do anything about that, GOG. Next up, he's one of the many co-hosts on the Jay Rao Show. He's also a TGRS contributor. Let's say good morning to Rob Smooth. Good morning, Rob Smooth. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How's everything this morning?
Things going well, man. Everything is going well. How about with everything with you?
Oh, man. Up, feeling good. That's what it's all about. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, Rob. How are you, my friend?
All right.
And last but not least, the lady of the house, she is also a TGRS contributor, and she's the host of the Miss Mo Show. Let's say good morning to Miss Mo. Good morning, Miss Mo. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Happy Sunday. I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing quite well, ma'am. I'm doing quite well.
Did you call me ma'am?
I did call you ma'am, absolutely. My mother would be proud of me this morning.
Thanks, Mom. And happy Sunday, Rob and Gio.
And same to you.
And same to you, Miss Mo.
Folks, I tell you what, we have a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. Let's start off with the discussion of a news organization being fair and balanced. And, of course, that's the motto of Fox News. But recently people have said they've been anything but fair and balanced. And so we'll start the conversation off with GOG. As usual, GOG, does the model fit the crime? Are these guys really fair and balanced?
No, they are not. They've never been. Their business model is manipulative, unbalanced, and sometimes just flat out propaganda.
Wow, GOG, you are really coming in real, real bad. I'm not sure if it's, not sure what's going on. I'm not sure. Am I the only one having trouble hearing GOG this morning?
No, I can't hear him.
Yeah, you're very low, GOG. So let's see if we can try to get that fixed. But let's go to you, Rob Smooth. Fair and balanced. What should we say about Fox News? Is it fair and balanced, yes or no?
Actually, no, it's not. I mean, you know, just this topic alone, you know, I think we're giving them a little more credit than they deserve. Me personally, like I said in previous shows, I don't even listen to them. So, but no, it's always biased. So, I don't think so.
But wait a minute now. We have to look at it from this standpoint now. We can say what we want about Fox News, but Fox News has millions and millions of listeners. And Ms. Mo, the reason why, to me, it's just blatant with what they're doing. I remember a couple of weeks ago, the president met with the Israeli prime minister and with the Palestinian people, and they came to him and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. They had a press conference in the Rose Garden. Every major cable news organization carried it live, with the exception of one station, and it was Fox News.
Well, you know what, Jay? I think Fox News, like a lot of the other news outlets nowadays who are driven by advertising dollars, are, you know, kind of putting the news on that they think the people want to see. It's all sensationalized, over-dramatized, and I think a lot of times it's probably half of the news, you know? And my motto is, half the truth is still a lie.
Exactly. You're absolutely correct, and that's the thing that bothers me about it, is the fact that they represent themselves as a news organization. And let's be fair about it now. MSNBC, a lot of people say that MSNBC, they lean to the left, but they don't claim themselves, I don't think they do, as being a news organization. There's a time during the live broadcast where it's nothing but news, but you can say the same about Fox News as well. But for them not to carry this press conference, and I'm not sure, GLG, if we got you squared away yet, but for them not to carry the press conference, and even when they had the change of command ceremonies in Iraq, once again, the vice president was speaking, this was a very, very important occasion. This marked the end of all combat operations in Iraq. Once again, all the major cable news outlets carried this live, with the exception of Fox News.
And which is not unusual for Fox to do something like this. It didn't surprise me at all. There again, they could twist and turn it. So they just probably, that was something hard to manipulate. So they just rather not bother with it. I found that Fox can't manipulate it. They usually don't deal with it. So that's how I saw that.
Yeah. Hard to hear him. He's still hard to hear him. Maybe you should call back in. Let's go out to the lines. Let's bring in Princess FAA. Good morning, Princess FAA. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Rob, Gio, and Mo.
Good morning.
So now, let's ask you the question. Fox News, fair and balanced. Is Fox News fair and balanced?
I don't watch Fox News, Jay. I'm a News 19 girl.
Okay. But when you think about them, and when you think about the conversations and the people that they have on there, I mean, a lot of people say they don't watch Fox News, but they have to be aware of Fox News. They have to know that Fox News exists. And, you know, once again, I can remember when President Bush was in office, anytime President Bush stepped to the podium, you know, Fox News would go there live. But because of the fact that we have Barack Obama in office, they will not. I mean, very rarely do they cut and go to a live scene when he's holding press conferences. During the presidential campaign, when Sarah Palin would appear somewhere, they would cut to her versus, cut to Senator Barack Obama when he was on the stump. So when you think about all this, you know, that's the part that really gets me, is that we say that they're fair and balanced, or they say this, but to me it's a deliberate attempt, Rob's move, to, in my opinion, undermine the president and to undermine the Democratic Party.
Well, that's true. You know, basically, one of the main reasons why they don't do it is because, it doesn't benefit them. I mean, if they show, just like the press conference you said before, if they show something good coming out of the news that will back President Obama, of course they aren't going to show it because it goes against everything that they believe. So, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest issues. If their listeners aren't going to get anything out of it that would be positive for them, then they are going to show it. So that's bias. So.
Well, Ms. Mo, jump in the conversation. I mean, you know, my thing is this, is that once we talk about what's going on in GOG, you are backline. But when we talk about them catering to their listeners, I mean, to me, that's a more of a scary proposition than anything. I think the thing that, you know, really gets me about Americans, and we're going to definitely get into this as the conversation continues to go on 10 minutes after the hour, the fact that, you know, when we talk about the Constitution, when we talk about things, we always interpreted things that's beneficial for us. And so, you know, we claim to be Americans. We claim that we live in a society that people have freedoms and rights. But once again, when it gets to the point where it's not working out for us, then, you know, all of a sudden we take a different turn and a different twist on things. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Fox News, Glenn Beck, and, you know, all those, and all the minions over there, you know, Hannity and all these guys, you know, they are, in my opinion, all they're doing is just stirring up hate and division. And to me, there's no place for that, not right now, not at this time in our nation's history.
Well, you know what, Jay? Two things. First of all, in relationship to the Constitution, this is the product of a free society. We do not live in a, you know, in a dictatorship. We live in a free-thinking world. And when you have a free-thinking world, that means you're going to have many thoughts. And Fox News is just a microcosm of our world, is that you have many different thoughts. Fox has an audience. Of course, it seems that no one on our panel watches Fox News, but that obviously doesn't stop them from airing. They have millions of people who do tune in, just as we have listeners for the Serious Side of the J-Roll show, then we have listeners for, you know, Glenn Beck or MSNBC or ABC, et cetera, et cetera. So in anything, as long as there is an audience, there are people who have itching ears and who want to hear those particular topics. That will not be stopped. We can't go into the homes of Americans and say, hey, stop looking at Fox News, it's bad for you, any more than we can get Americans to eat healthy, stop, you know, any vices that they have. You know, people have choices. Fox News is a choice. Now, is it good news or bad news seems to be the question that we're bringing up. And, again, it goes to who you're asking. Are the people who are watching Fox News, do they want truthful news, or do they want entertainment, or is that their version of the truth? And all of those questions are, you know, pretty much depends on who's watching it, how they want to interpret it, and what they want to believe. Because we all know that for some of us, even in our own lives, we choose to believe a lie. We know the truth, but we want to believe something else because it feels good. We don't want to face the truth. Maybe, you know, those that watch Fox News, that's their version of the world. And in a free society, again, they have that choice. Is it good? Maybe not for you or I. But for somebody else, that's their choice. And unfortunately, our Constitution allows that, good or bad.
Right. You have to take the good with the bad. 347-850-1272. It's the Serious Side of the TJRS. We would love to hear from you, hear your comments. Right now we're talking about Fox News. Is it fair and balanced? Coming up later on in the show, we'll be talking about Pastor Terry Jones. And obviously, since 9/11 was just yesterday, the ninth anniversary of 9/11, we'll ask you for your thoughts and things of that nature during the later part of the show, 13 minutes after the hour. So, you know, as we continue to have the conversation about Fox News, if you'd like to get in on this segment, it's about 17 minutes left, you can definitely get in and be a part of the conversation. GOT, I'll go back to you. You know, shouldn't we watch it, though, because it's that old adage, we should always know what the enemy's doing, huh?
Absolutely. We should keep an eye. We should watch Fox News just like we do any other show. And Ms. Mo hit it dead on the head. She said the key word, entertainment. It's perplexing to me how Fox News can still be calling themselves news. If you ever notice, 99% of the things that they do over there has already been reported on it. Only reason people are listening to them is because they sensationalize it, they twist it, and as Ms. Mo put it, they deliver it in such a package that's suitable to a certain sex of people that want to embrace it because it fits what these people want to hear. Doesn't necessarily validate it as the truth or anything of substance. I gotta agree with everything that she said in regards to, you know, they're going to be there. But I don't see, at this juncture, Fox News has been around so long, anybody that's about the truth, you know, they'll look at them and, yeah, you're right, Jay, let's listen to them because, you know, you want to keep, you know, your fingers or your on the pulse of what the enemy camp is doing. If you call them the enemy, I think that's a strong word. I think it's just a bunch of fools that love to twist and turn the truth. But yeah, I mean, I don't see them making any major differences in any major decisions going forward into the future, political wise, especially. Now,
really?
I mean, they were there. If keep in mind now, if it was up to Fox News, President Obama would never be in office.
Well, but wait a minute now. Come on now. You say that, and I'm going to have to disagree with you, man. Look at what happened. I think the Tea Party is a direct result from Fox News. I think that, you know what, we don't want to give them credit for that, but I really and truly think that because of the way they gave them, you know, because Fox News, once again, it is the number one cable news channel that people watch. And so when you think about it, you know, the Tea Party... I think Fox News is to be thanked for the emergence of the Tea Party.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you know, the Tea Party is linked to them. They report that. That's one of the things they tend to report on in a positive, like, if you can call it positive. But there again, you know, look at right now, the accomplishments, if you can call them that, that the Tea Party made, or the progress that the Tea Party made. I haven't seen a lot out of them recently. That's not to say that they're to be dismissed now. But you're absolutely right. Fox News has aligned themselves with the Tea Party and largely responsible for any momentum that they've had, because they've given them more airtime than any other news network. You're right. You're absolutely right in that one.
Absolutely. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number, 347-850-1272. You are listening to The Serious Side of the TJRS every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time right here. 16 minutes after the hour, and we're talking about Fox News. Is it fair and balanced? Rob Smooth, you're quiet.
Well, yeah, I was just trying to wait till I got a chance to get back in. But, you know, how I look at Fox News, I consider them the Jerry Springer of the cable news network. I mean, and actually, you know, Pastor Jones, that'll be the perfect platform for him. He'll fit right in with their network. So, you know, with me, you know, that's the type of news that they put out there. You know, the type of things that he's doing now, so.
Well, everyone covered that story, though, and I think that, you know, we'll definitely get into that in the next segment. But no. You know, the bottom line is, when you think about Fox News, are we being fair? Because if you look at MSNBC, you know, you have Keith Olbermann, you have, Chris Matthews. And then if you look at Fox, you have Glenn Beck, you have Hannity, you have, Bill O'Reilly. So, you mean, so when we say this, are we really being fair? Because, you know, a lot of times if you watch MSNBC, one of the things they do is they try to make sure that they criticize Fox News as far as being fair and balanced. But one would say, you know, MSNBC leans to the left.
Well, you know what I think? Again, it's all propaganda. When you look at the news in our society at all, it's all skewed towards what they want to report. I mean, let's take for an example one of the things that you're very passionate about on the TJRS show, which is missing women. And we know that every news media seems to be a little bit biased when we have an African American, or even Hispanic woman that's missing. But if we have a Caucasian child or a woman that's missing, even if they're gone for a couple of hours, they're able to get national news attention. But a sister can be missing for 6 months. For example, there was a lady here in Los Angeles that I covered on my show plenty of times. And, you know, by the time they actually started to report her missing, she'd been missing for a while, and now she's been missing for over a year and did not get half the, not a quarter or an inch of the news coverage. So, you know, we're pointing a finger at Fox, but that same finger could be pointed at other news media outlets. The only difference is they come on for an hour or two and they get the heck off. You know, and Fox is there, as Gio said, it's kind of reporting the news, regurgitating the news, reporting the news again. And, you know, they're more blatant in their bias than a lot of the other medias who are subtle. But I think they're all biased.
Well, I think so, too. That's what I was saying. You know, we have to make sure that we be, you know, fair about this because, you know, but I will say this about MSNBC because I spent a lot of time watching Fox News a few years ago. And then, you know, obviously I watched MSNBC. And I will say this, especially during their morning show, Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, who is one of the hosts or the host of that show, he is a Republican. But I do see them get on Democrats as well. On MSNBC. I don't see a lot of that on Fox News. I haven't watched it since Glenn Beck has made his move over there. And no telling where Lou Dobbs will show up. But, you know, the bottom line is I think that if you want to, if someone can say they're more fair and balanced, and some of my friends on the right would probably disagree with my assessment or my statement, but I would have to say that between the two, MSNBC, I mean, in some cases, they do go after the Democrats. I mean, Dylan Radigan, he's on the president every day, and that's right there in MSNBC, Rob Smoove. So when you think about it, I don't see that on the other side of the fence.
No, and that's what I was saying earlier. I mean, you know, because that's not part of his agenda.
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Rob Smoove.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm here. I said that's not a part of their agenda, so of course they are going to be non-biased and show both sides. They're just going to, like I said before, they're going to show the side that that's going to benefit them as far as, you know, their political beliefs or their belief spirit.
Absolutely. Right. And again, that's one of the things that, you know, with many news outlets, I think someone said it at the top of the show, maybe it was Rob, that, you know, Fox is probably getting more media than they deserve. You know, they have a news medium, and it's just that. And for those that want to watch it, they're going to watch it. No matter how toxic that shit becomes, they're going to have an audience if there are people who want to watch that. And I don't think there's going to be much we can do about that. Of course, we can be critical of it, and as Jay and Gio are saying, we can watch it and find out, you know, what it is out there. But is that beneficial for us to know or not? Because, you know that when you're watching it, you're getting poison. If you like poison, so be it. I don't necessarily have to drink poison to know that I'm being poisoned. It's enough for me to know that it's poison and not eat.
347-850-1272 is the phone number, 347-850-1272 is our phone number. You're listening to the Sirius side of the TJRS every Sunday morning. Let's get out to the phone. Let's go to area code. Matter of fact, I think this is Jay Early. Jay Early, is this you?
Good morning, Jay. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jay. How are you, sir?
I was sitting back trying to wait for the next session to come in, but I said, nah, I'm going to go and call in now. You know, here's the thing. Most people forget about Fox, and I had the pleasure of being in the United States during the presidential run. So mm-hmm. I got to watch the fight between MSNBC and Fox.
Okay.
And Fox, as far as I'm concerned, they are about the bottom line is the dollar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And, you know, what do people go to the quickest? Negative news.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the information that they put out was so negative concerning, you know, the president and his bid for, well, then the senator and his bid for the presidency, which is now President Obama. It was just, it was an art to watch this battle between the two stations, you know. And, of course, I tuned mostly into MSNBC. And Fox, I just turned there just to listen to Mr. O'Reilly and put out his garbage, you know. But, you know, no one talks about the money. It's a money game. Beck, it's right. A money game. Okay, so the more listeners, the more money you get, the more, what do you call them, sponsors you get.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they do what they do so good,
right.
Personal opinion.
They're catering to their audience, which, you know, that's what most, you know, TV shows, radio shows, that's what you do. You cater to the people who pay the bills. But, you know, there has to be somewhat of a belief as well, because I really and truly think that, you know, for example, when Glenn Beck called the president a racist. I mean, no one on that panel denounced that. And so, you know, either you believe that it's true or you're saying, you know what, this will get my audience stoked up and let me just continue, let me allow him to continue this this racial spew and hate, because I know this will get my base riled up. I know that this will attract listeners. And so that's the problem that I have with it. Is, you know, listen, I'm all for fair and balanced news. I'm all for reporting. I'm all for freedom of speech. But the bottom line is, I think it is our responsibility, especially those of us who are in the media, when people put out falsehoods, when people say things that are just not right, we need to call them on that. And that's one of the things that Fox News, they don't do when you see some of this stuff being spewed on their channels.
You're correct, 100%. You know, but think of this. This guy, Glenn Beck, who could spell his name before the presidential race? Nobody knew who he was. You know, he made his money taking cheap shots at the president.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that's how he became who he is. Rush Limbaugh. I'm sorry to mess up his name.
Mess it up.
Same thing. I tune into him even now. You know, I can only stand maybe about 10 minutes of it just to see what he's saying negative about the president and this administration. You know, but
right.
That's how he makes his money, being the bad guy. You notice
yeah.
He wears black when you see him on TV, right?
Well, he needs to wear black. Black makes him look small. I heard black is a color that makes people look small when they're big.
I was trying not to go there.
What did you say?
Somebody didn't know that Rush Limbaugh was a bad word on this show.
That guy there. Yeah. I will. I will lose all parts of it when you bring that guy up. Oh, my God. There's no doubt about it. 347-850-1272 is the phone number. It's 26 minutes after the hour, 4 minutes left of the set. We're talking about Fox News. Is it fair and balanced? And the conversation has picked up a little bit here. You know, no one's mentioned CNN. Now, CNN, a lot of people think CNN leans to the left. I don't get that impression, but maybe because I don't know, maybe because I'm a liberal. I have no idea. You know, I don't know, GOG. Do you think CNN leans to the left?
No, I don't. I happen to agree with you on that. I don't think so. Not from where I'm sitting and what I've seen and my experiences with them. Not at all. Fox is, and Jay earlier again added another dimension to it. That's true. You know, when it comes to Fox, and I think CNN has a different agenda in the end, but when it comes to Fox, it all comes down to the dollar. Fox is about entertainment. I go back to that, and Ms. Mo mentioned it too. They're about entertaining people and shocking people. You got a bunch of shock jocks over there, basically what they are. They twist, finagle, manipulate, and create and deliver the news in such a way that, you know, people love negativism and they deliver it like that. And, you know, a lot of the people that watch Fox News, you know, I would hope that they're not so shallow as this is the only news program that they're getting their news source from, they're getting their information from, and they're leaving it alone. Anybody that's watching Fox News, I watch Fox News, okay? I do. And I like them. I like Fox News. Why? Because they're entertaining, okay? Fox is entertaining. And that's all it is for me, entertainment. I never leave the TV with anything that Fox is claiming as new or news-breaking without getting my own information from another source. As long as you follow that, you'll be right. You should be fine. But they're entertaining. And you said it, Jay. You know, the mindset over there is something to watch, pay attention to, okay? I'm not saying dismiss Fox News 100% as being, you know, a bunch of comedy clowns that are just spewing words, but it comes down to them. It's the dollar. Somebody's paying. They're making money doing this, or they stop. The producers would rewrite that program. The editors, the creators would rewrite some of those programs and make them stop. So obviously, there's a profit in pissing off people.
But you know what? I think the danger that we have here is that, you know, once again, most people don't do their homework when it comes to finding out what's going on with the issues. Most people don't take the next step to really get the true story. And that's the reason why, you know, Fox News and even MSNBC, to a certain degree, it's dangerous when they put stuff out there that's not right, or if they put information out there that's leaning towards one side of the aisle versus the other, because most Americans get that 10 to 15 minutes or an hour of conversation and they think it's the gospel. Ms. Moore, I give you the last word.
Yep, but you know what, Jay? Can we really blame the news media for people's lack of due diligence? I mean, that can be said about anything. Is it you know, the ADA's or the AMA, the American Medical Association's fault that you don't take care of your body and that you then need the pharmaceutical industry? I mean, you know, I don't know if we can play the blame game. If you are part of the audience of Fox, then it is your business to know. And if you don't want to know, then that's a choice. You know, I think that a lot of people, that's the news that they want to hear. They don't want to know the truth. What's that catchphrase? I don't know the movie, but you can't handle the truth. I mean, there's people who that's the truth as they see it. And, you know, you probably couldn't tell them any different. Those that listen to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, that's because that's what they want to hear. Just as much as those that may listen to, you know, to our leaders and to those people that we hold near and dear. You know, of course we know that there are people who don't like President Obama, but then there's a whole audience of people who do. We live in a world of free choice. And again, this is the product of free choice, the fact that you can choose. That doesn't mean we're going to like our neighbor's choices, but they do have a right to choose. And we will have a Fox News to give them that choice.
Absolutely. Well said. I couldn't have said it better myself. I tell you, it's a good thing. Well, folks, one set down. Time to get to the next set. It's been a very lively conversation so far, as it always is here on the Sirius side. It's at the bottom of the hour right now. If you have to be there at the top of the hour, you have 30 minutes, folks. We'll be right back for the second set of the Sirius side. Good morning and welcome in. 347-850-1272 is your call-in number. Hope to hear from you on the other side of the break. Keep it right here.
Hi, this is your resident map of the South, Mom to Little Donna, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show. A show for women, by women.
I decided to pick up my things, to love you the same. See, I was tired of giving you my all and watching me fall. Now I'm inspired to move out of the way. Things will never be the same when you got in my face to see you. Always thought about change, but now it's too late. You never could see past your in them jeans. Even when you with me, I became a routine of using and abusing my love, misusing my trust. Guess it ain't about love, you're selfish. I can't take it no more. I'm tired of this. I don't know what I'm here for. I decided to pick up my things. How could you leave me? Always standing alone. You were the king of my home. See, I'd support you, rub your back and say, and cook your favorite thing. You love your favorite way. Go and do what you do, baby, you know that I'm through. I decided to pick up some things. You know that it hurts, you know that it's time. You know that it hurts to say
Florida pastor Terry Jones, a preacher whose threat to burn the Quran has set off worldwide protest and condemnation, now says his church will never burn the Muslim holy book, even if a mosque is built near Ground Zero.
Welcome back to The Serious Side. Here's Jay, G.O.G., Rob Smooth, and Miss Mo.
Welcome back into The Serious Side, folks. It's 10:35, 35 minutes after the hour, especially if you're here in Texas. It's The Serious Side every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on BTR Radio. And folks, we're talking about the pastor that created so much turmoil all over the world this past week. He finally announced that he will not burn the Quran. But I tell you what, and I'll start the conversation off with you, Rob Smooth, but this guy, just the impact that this guy has had on the world in this past week is just off the chain. One guy, one southern pastor from a small town in Florida created so much chaos. It's crazy.
You know, that's why I said earlier that he was sit perfect on Fox News. I'm surprised they won't have a seat waiting on him after all this is done. But this is actually crazy, man. I think he was looking for his 15 minutes of fame, and he got it and more. So, but I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I think I touched on it last week, and I said, you know, the fallout behind what he said he's going to do is going to cause an international event, and basically, it has, as far as the media.
Well, it has, and the thing is that, you know, Ms. Mo, he didn't go through with this, but, you know, they're already reporting that there has been one death attributed to the fact that this guy threatened to do this, and when you sit and watch this guy appear in front of the cameras, it's like, this man is not educated. How do you not know that this would impact Americans from a worldwide basis? I don't understand people. I really don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, I think in this event, this points back to our media, and I don't think anyone said it better than Hillary Clinton when she said, why is the media giving this man with 50 members from Florida this much media attention? You know, and this goes back to reporting of the news. Was this something that was necessary? I think the news media outlets are held to as much or more responsibility because they reported it. And knowing that this would be something that would set off an international crisis, they had a responsibility maybe not to give it so much attention because, let's face it, if he had not had a platform to put that out to all of us and then we would not have had that outcry, maybe not that one death, because even if you were going to burn Qurans and he did it with his 50 members in Florida, would we have known about it had he not gotten that type of press coverage?
But you know, Ms. Mo, we live in a day and age where everyone has a camera. Everyone is a reporter. I mean, as long as you have a cell phone, you can report the news. And I think that had the, you know, to me, you know, and some may disagree with my statement here, but I think what the news media did was almost to a certain degree a blessing. And the reason why I say that is because of this, is that they preempted the story. Because let's say that the news media would have just completely ignored this guy. And someone with a phone, a cell phone camera, would have taken a picture of that and put it on YouTube. I mean, it would have went viral, and I'm telling you, I think that more harm would have been done had we not intervened and covered the story. Because the guy felt so much pressure from the world, from all the political leaders and things of that nature. I think that's the real reason why he decided not to do this, not because of the fact that he didn't believe, you know, this whole thing with the mosque and all this other stuff. I think this guy did this because he realized what type of repercussions this could have.
Well, but then again, you know, that part of it is a good thing, but I still say that the media is held to some level of responsibility for giving it that much attention. On yesterday, when I went back to, I was out most of the day, and I wanted to find out, you know, did he do it? I couldn't find a story anywhere. Everything was like 2 or 3 day old news on Terry Jones. On September 11th, they decided to be very quiet. I didn't see much by way of print media as to whether or not he carried through. And so, you know, all of a sudden when they realized the national outcry, there wasn't as much media on the day in question as there was leading up to it. And I think, you know, it was just as much sensationalized by the media as it was by Terry Jones. And, you know, of course, this was a just as heinous of an act, because we would have had an outcry had people start burning the Bible or, you know, anything that we hold near and dear to our political freedom. So I don't know. I think that, you know, the media, of course, if it had gone viral on YouTube, I think that's really different. There are a lot of videos on YouTube, and, you know, not all of them are always favorable, but then it's just that. It's this one person's opinion as opposed to broadcasting it globally. You know, I don't know that I think I blame the media a little bit in this one. They shouldn't have reported it as much.
Interesting. 347-850-1272. Let's get out to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, welcome into the Jay Rouse Show. Who's this?
Good morning. How are you today, Jay? Easy
hey,
right here.
Hey, what's going on, Easy?
Hello, panel. Well, you know, I think the guy started to rethink. He kind of said it whenever you said that, you know, if something would have happened, he definitely would have been to blame for it. He would have been the scapegoat. And, you know, to give these people, these radicals and these terrorists, any reason to do anything, that's exactly what we don't want to do. And, you know, if he would have burned that Koran, there would have been something, they would have done something to sensationalize the news. And, you know, this guy was a nutcase, wanting attention. He should have really thought this thing out, because it really could have caused a big disaster.
Let me ask you a question, Easy. So now, and this is somewhat of a debate that me and Ms. Moe were having this morning. Do you think the media, if you had a choice, would you have preferred this story to leak out on a cell phone, on YouTube, or do you think the way it was handled the right way? I mean, what say you in regards to that?
Well, I mean, either way, the story's going to get out, cell phone, YouTube, you know, computers, word of mouth. I mean, as you can see, people from all the other countries, I mean, a lot of them don't have computers, and a lot of them don't have TVs, and bam, they knew about it immediately. I mean,
right.
If you see them they were, how they were uprising there, you know probably 70% of them people didn't have a computer. So that really spread like wildfire. I mean, that's a dangerous thing to play with.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your phone call. So, GOG, here's the deal, and I'll ask you the question. Do you think the way the media handled the story, I mean, you know, like I said before, and I'm going to go on record to say that, yeah, was it too much coverage? At times it was, but I'm glad that they brought this to light, because once again, to me, what they did was they stopped this guy by exposing this guy to the world. They stopped this guy from doing something that could have been, I mean, just potent and could have been lethal to Americans all around the world.
First of all, I believe Terry Jones was never going to burn any Koran. He never intended to. He wasn't going to burn anything.
You don't think so?
And he made the statement. He came out a couple of weeks ago, made it locally, and unfortunately, it's a fundamental flaw in the media that we have today. The media caught on. He played them. He played them right to the end on Friday night, and he played them good. The media gave it gave it too much coverage. And in response to maybe if they hadn't covered it and, say, someone with a cell phone or a camera, he had actually did this and posted it on YouTube, would not have had any impact at all on anybody, because you got to look at it as, okay, now when you see it on YouTube, people are going to look at him and say, look what this quack down in Florida did. And maybe he may have suffered some personal attack or backlash, but not on the national level, because once the national news media got a hold of it, now the president's weighing in on it. And then, of course, Joe Petraeus, he weighed in with his comments, of course, because now it's national, and everybody's seeing this quack, and, you know, during mid-part of the week, they're taking him serious. But if he had never received that level of media coverage, we wouldn't even be talking about him. And even if we did see some quack minister down in Gainesville, Florida, this morning on YouTube burning Korans, flags, black people, or whatever he chose to burn, it would not have had a national or international backlash. No, not at all.
Rob Smoove, do you agree with that?
You mean if it would have went to YouTube?
Do you agree with the fact that what I'm saying is, I understand where people are going with this as far as the media. You know, the media may have blown this out of proportion, but I think the media also prevented this clown from doing this, because I think, and I disagree with GOG, I think he would have done it. Because when you listen to some of the earlier interviews, he was dead set, hell-bent on doing this. And so my question is that, do you agree with the way this thing has been handled?
Actually, I do. I mean, for the first time, you know, all the propaganda things that the media covers, I think out of all of them, this did do some good, because for one, it kind of exposed some of the quackos that are out there. Two, you know that old saying, pressure busts a pipe?
I mean,
this guy, he went out and tried to get 15 minutes of fame. Now he's getting thousands of hits on Facebook. You know, death threats. You know, he's saying he has to walk around with a bulletproof vest on, and he's toting a pistol. So that alone just lets you know that it's crazy. But the one good thing came out of this whole thing, you know, it kind of unified us as a whole, and also on his local level, because now you have like the different religions coming together and discussing it and speaking out against it. I mean, you know, you have the Christians, the Jewish people, and the Muslims speaking out against it. And they also, I think they had a panel locally, and they had planned on demonstrating if he did go through with it. So that brought some religious unity as far as the different denominations of religion.
Right. Jay Early, you're still on the call. Now, you know, once again, what type of effect, you're overseas, and it's always good to get that perspective, because, you know, both me and Rob, we lived overseas for a substantial period of time. It was always interesting to see how things were happening overseas. Once the story got out that this guy was considering this just ridiculous act, I mean, what happened? What was the temperament and the environment overseas?
You know, I can't tell you from the German side, but I can tell you from the military stationed over here, the wives of husbands who were stationed in, are stationed in Afghanistan, still in Iraq, of course, the worry level grew, okay?
Right.
But now they're concerned about what would happen to their loved ones if this so-called man of God did what he said he was going to do. I asked myself, I looked at the guy's gray hair and whatnot. I said, first thing I said when I saw him, I said, this guy could not have ever have served in uniform to even think of putting our troops in harm's way like that. You know, they're over there defending our country, okay, following the commander's orders, because, you know, you wouldn't want to be over there on your own anyway. Okay.
Right.
And you're going to do something that is going to harm our soldiers. You know, I don't know how it even got that far that this will come out on the air. And I really thank God that someone was able to talk a little bit of sense into this guy's head. But if he'd have went through with it, I'm telling you, we would have had what they used to call them, black bags. We'd have
right.
been lining up some black
yeah.
bags over in Afghanistan, because they would have hurt our troops. So the wives are the ones that were up in rage when they heard about this over here in the military community.
Can I chime in real quick? And not only that, you know, everybody stationed around the world. I mean, even in Germany, I remember when we stationed there, you know, they had terrorist attacks in Frankfurt and all across Germany. So,
that's
you know,
true.
I mean, everybody would have been a target. And
look, the alert rate was, I can't think of the highest one, but it was up. I think it's red is the highest one.
Right.
It was definitely up ever since that announcement came out. So I was glad that the guy, someone talked sense into him. I don't know who, how, or what, but I'm definitely, I thank God that he didn't do what he said he was going to do, because he definitely would have had an international affair. Now, I'm just hoping somebody goes and pulls his Bible from him. And that
right.
title of pastor, because I was told that pastors are for love and peace, not
right.
for creating war.
And that's what
Absolutely.
I wanted to touch on. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I just think that you know, when people take this word religion, regardless of what their beliefs are, I mean, I think that they're off point when it comes to the premise behind religion. And I think you know, a lot of people take it to the extremes and make it benefit their views and instead of what the word really says. And I mean, that's the scariest part about it. I mean, you know, how religion affects this whole world.
Well, you know, and that's, Rob, pretty much the premise that Terry Jones, and I'm, let me put out the disclaimer that I'm neither agreeing with what he proposed to do, but that premise of religion and the extremists taking religion and making it their own is exactly what, you know, he felt was behind his Quran burning, is that there were those extreme Islamists who were taking the Quran and, you know, committing these terrorist acts in the name of Allah. And, you know, and so right or wrong, and definitely probably not the best decision, the wisest decision for a pastor or anyone to make, you know, he thought he was attacking that sect and not the Muslim nation as a whole, and definitely misguided, because, of course, that's going to be an affront to the very people that you're trying to attack, these extremists who really don't care. And so, you know, I think his attempt to expose the extremists in the Muslim nations actually exposed the flaws in his own Christian beliefs, because certainly, you know, in order for him to have attacked this extremist, he had to be, you know, a little extreme himself.
347-850-1272 is the phone number. 347-850-1272 is the number. You're in tune to the Serious Side of the TJRS. Happens every Sunday morning. It's 51 minutes after the hour, 9 before the top of the hour. Folks, we're talking about Pastor Jones and the burning of the Quran. Thank God he didn't do that. Now, and this is the comment that I'll make, is that, you know, a lot of these people who run around with the American flag on, you know, tattooed to their arm and has this, you know, they have the flag hanging from their pickup truck and all these beautiful things, that, you know, they sit here and talk about they love America and they love the troops. But, you know, once again, a lot of people agreed with the fact that this guy was going to do that and that he had the right to do it. But, you know, once again, the thing that they love so much, they didn't realize by the possibility of doing something this ridiculous and stupid that they would have put the very thing they hold, you know, that they hold with the highest respect in danger. I mean, they would have had American soldiers would have been in direct danger based on this, because, you know, the opening clip into this segment, you know, it talked about, okay, wait a minute. If they do this, then the number one priority for Muslims would be what? Is to kill Americans no matter where they are. And you would have saw that here in the United States, I believe, GOG.
If he'd have done it,
yeah, exactly.
If he'd have did it, and under the spotlight of all the national media exposure that he was getting, if he did it, let's say if he did it, yes, absolutely, the backlash would have certainly probably reared itself in Afghanistan, Iraq, and, you know, as well as strained our relationships with Muslims as a whole, America's relationship with Muslims as a whole, if he did it. But I firmly believe that, you know, he saw 9/11 as an opportunity to get a little glory for his little small minuscule church down in Gainesville, Florida, and he went after it because, you know, it doesn't say a lot about the news media, and this is going to bounce back to the last segment. But it doesn't say a lot about a news media in times when we have, you know, this astronomical unemployment rate. We've got November primaries coming up. You know, our economy is top-sided, lopsided, and everybody, all of us, has stopped, put down what they're doing, and they focus on this little whack, crazy minister out of Gainesville. And I know I'm going to get from some people like, okay, be careful how you dismiss people as quacks and whacks. But if he'd have never gotten the media exposure, and on a national level, and I can't say this enough, and he did it, and it showed up somewhere, even if he filmed it and it showed up somewhere, it would have been one crackpot that burned some. I don't believe he never had the Korans. I mean, he talked about people mailing him Korans. And, you know, if he was ever really serious about it, we just seen a pile of Korans. Well, here they are. You know, I'm going to put a match to them, son. We never even saw the Korans. So I don't believe he ever intended to go through with it.
Wow, you don't think they were in that big trailer that he had parked in front of his church?
He would have been too glad, with all the media exposure he had, he would have been too glad to show them to us.
Well, and then the question is, where would he get so many of those things to burn? I tell you, it's we laugh about it a little bit, but you know,
I don't think he had enough to start even a campfire.
Well, here we go now. Here's the deal. Now here's the deal that you know, people were saying the government should intervene. You know, once again, here we go. You know, first of all, you're saying that the government's too big and that they need to stay out of our business, but now you're saying the government should have intervened. And this is what the small town was prepared to do, because there's an ordinance that you can burn trash, but it has to be, I think sticks and leaves or something like that. And as soon as he would have lit the match, the fire department would have put it out. So, I mean, I think that's a little bit of tidbit of information that people weren't aware of, that he could burn in public, but it could only be leaves and trees and things of that nature. And had he lit the fire department would have been standing by to, you know, douse the flame. But, you know, just the act of him setting it on fire would have done more than enough. You're talking about a religion who went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when they made fun of Muhammad, when the cartoonist drew that cartoon a few years back. I mean, so you cannot play with this religion and play. You just can't do it. And I'm glad that this guy woke up and smelled the coffee.
Well,
I don't know why people are so mad, because a couple of years ago he actually first got a claim to fame for putting out big signs that said Islam is of the devil. So the news media knew the firecracker that they were dealing with, and this is why I say that they sensationalized the story. You know, they already knew that he was going to do something sensational, and they gave him a vehicle in which to drive that bus and drive it and drive it and drive it. And, you know, if you have somebody that's saying Islam is of the devil, you have the anniversary of September 11th, then why would you give something like that such mass media attention?
And not only that, I think they already had another copycat out there. He claimed that he had did it a couple of years, last year, and he planned on doing it too. So, you know, I think that's the whole thing. I think, you know, once someone sees that someone else is getting publicity behind their little stunts, then everybody else tries to follow suit, and that's the only scary thing about it, you know.
Yeah, copycatters. Yeah, absolutely. GLG, what were you about to say?
You brought up a key point that a lot of people miss, and it is a fact, Jay, that town, Gainesville, Florida, has an ordinance against burning certain types of things. This was a fact that I noticed the news media neglected to report until we got near the end of the week, okay? Jerry Jones knew this, okay? And you're right, Jay. If he had attempted to put a match to it, okay, they probably would have stopped him. Now, that's not going to take the sting out of the fact that, okay, we have some fool in Gainesville, Florida. The act, just the thought of it, would have still agitated the Muslim community, and understandably so. You know, that fact right there alone, and Jerry Jones never mentioned that, okay, that there's an ordinance in this city against burning. So now, how are you going to stack up a bunch of books and pull out a match and think, you know, you're going to actually like this? But they didn't report this. This didn't surface until the latter part of the week, I noticed. And I followed the story pretty much, you know, during the course of the week. You said something else too, Jay, about the government getting involved. Once the government got involved, and I think this is where it really took on the concern nationally and internationally, when the government got involved. And granted, at that point, I think, yeah, you know, with all the spotlight that the media was giving it, General Petraeus, and his point was valid. You know, hey, if you got somebody down there that you guys are over there that's taking, and you're taking him this serious, and if he does this, then he needs to think about what's going to happen, you know, over in these Muslim countries in regards to the relationship that, you know, we're trying to build here in Iraq. As he said, you know, we're trying to pull up out of here, and one of the things that, you know, is going to happen before we make a 100% complete exit strategy is we have to train the Iraqi soldiers, you know, and, you know, in assistance in rebuilding this government. And in doing that, we need their trust. If we have an American that's doing something like this, it's going to strain the trust. However, to make a long story short, you hit it when you brought up the part about the town of Gainesville having an ordinance against burning. Well, how are you going to burn books if, you know, the city's going to show up and you're not even going to strike the match?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Ralph Smooth, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think a lot of people need to be careful for what they wish for because, you know, like I said, pressure busts a pipe and, you know, you might end up getting something that you don't want. So before you decide to make that choice to get that 15 minutes of fame, be careful for what you ask for.
Absolutely correct. Well, folks, that'll be the final word on this topic. Two down, one more to go, folks. Coming up September 11th, 9 years later, we're going to sit back and reminisce a little bit and pay homage to the people who lost their lives during that tragic day. You're listening to the Serious Side of the TJRS. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with the third set. Good morning.
That may have been the last shot Michael Jordan will ever take in the NBA.
Maybe not. Good morning. Air Jordan is taxiing for takeoff. Legendary basketball great Michael Jordan is getting ready to return to the game he loves today, Tuesday, September 11th, 2001.
Justin, you are looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building.
And we heard a big bang. And then we saw smoke coming out. And everybody started running out. And we saw the plane on the other side of the building. And there was smoke everywhere. And people were jumping out the windows. Oh, they're jumping out the windows, I guess, because they're trying to save themselves. I don't know. Everybody just doesn't know where to go. They won't let. Everything is blocked off. You can't even. They tell us to get out, but there's nowhere to go. And then I heard that another plane hit. And if you go over by that, you can see the people jumping out the window. They're jumping out the window.
Tell me what you saw. Stop and talk to her.
Oh, so I heard the loud noise from the jet. We look up and we see this big jet, like a 737 or a 727.
It was a 757.
Bang! Right into the middle of it, like around the 70th floor. And then a half hour later, we see the second one bang into it. We're on the roof of it. We're a block away. I mean,
what's going through your mind when you see this happen?
You see bodies flying out of the sky and you can't do nothing about it. You tell me. You tell me what you think.
Welcome to the Late Show. This is our first show on the air since New York and Washington were attacked. And I need to ask your patience and indulgence here because... But if we are going to continue to do shows, I just need to hear myself talk for a couple of minutes. And so that's what I'm going to do here. It's terribly sad here in New York City. And you can feel it. You can feel it. You can see it.
Your answer, what will it be? I see on one.
Minutes after the hour. And of course, yesterday was 9/11, and we spent time remembering the tragic events that took place on that day. And I'll tell you, you know, listening to that little break there, it really 9/11 was had a tremendous impact on me. I remember exactly what I was doing when this took place. What I want to do is I want to go around the table here and just ask people, what were they doing when this thing happened? Rob Smoove, I'll start off with you first. What were you doing that fateful morning?
Well, I mean, first of all, that would be something that's always be etched in my mind, man. I witnessed a whole lot of historic events in my lifetime, but this one, you know, that kind of took the cake. But basically, you know, I just went back home to bury my grandmother, and I was in a deep sleep, and my sister woke me up and said, "You have to check this out." And so when I woke up, I looked at the television, and I thought I was watching a movie. And then when she told me what it was, I was like, "Oh no, that's fake," because, you know, I thought it was a movie like what was that movie, the War of the World,
yeah.
Worlds or whatever. And I said, "Man, that's not real," because I mean, just like you had in the clips, you know, you could see bodies and debris falling from the buildings, and I was like, "No, that can't be real," and it was just a shocker, man. I mean, I was just woke up from a dead sleep, and when I seen that, I was like, man, this isn't happening. So
yeah,
it'll always be a part of my memory.
Yeah, it had a profound effect on me. You know, I just when I watched the coverage, I remember what I was doing. I was actually getting ready for work, and my office manager called. He says, "Hey, man, are you watching TV?" I'm like, "No, why are you?" You know, "You're at work. What are you doing?" You know, and he says, "Man, turn on the television." And so when I turned on the television, it was something like, you know, the thing is, I'm not going to say I thought it was a movie, because you can tell by just the way the camera was. I said, "What the hell is this?" And I was actually watching, because remember, the coverage started after the first plane had hit. And so we were watching live as the second plane hit. You know,
right.
People talk about protocol and things of that nature. You know, when you are in the media, there's professionalism you're supposed to maintain. But when I heard people gasp in the newsrooms of the television broadcast, you know, I knew this was something serious. And, you know, at that time, I began to cry, literally. I said, "I can't believe what I'm seeing here." And it just, you know, even to this day, it's very painful to watch this and watch the coverage. But, you know, it's tough. It's a tough situation. And, you know, and I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the Jay Ryle show, and GOG mentioned this even on his show. You know, people scheduling events like weddings and things of that nature on 9/11. I don't get that. I just think there should be a day that people should, you know, reflect and remember what happened. not, you know, we don't want a pity party because people who lost their lives wouldn't want that. But I just think that, you know, if you were alive during that time frame, it had to have had a tremendous effect on you. It had to. It just had to.
You know, for me, when I saw it actually on the way to work, and at that time I was working a really early shift. So like you, Jay, I saw the coverage of the first plane when they were trying to figure out exactly what happened, because when I turned around, they didn't know what happened. They were just going around and around with, you know, at first they said it's a fire, then it's been confirmed that a plane hit, and, you know, and then they started to confirm it, and right as they were reporting it, and they were going back to show the World Trade Center with the first plane and the smoke billowing from the building, and then in comes this second plane, and it just seems like the world stopped, and everybody gasped. Everybody just paused and mouth fully open and could not really grasp what we just saw, because then it was very clear to us that that was a commercial airplane, and that plane just, you know, crashed into the side of this building. And, you know, after that, you know, I'm standing and I'm watching it, and then I leave to go to work, but, you know, I'm, you know, trying to find radio stations that are talking about it. I couldn't get to work fast enough. I worked for the school district at that point. And, of course, we had a media room, so I went in, we got television, and I'm turning it on, and that day, no one could work. You know, I'm there, the assistant superintendent, the superintendent, all the, you know, the school district administrators, we could not work. And here, because we're close to Travis Air Force Base, it was a no-fly zone. So then, all of a sudden, the air around us was quiet, and the sky, we had C-5 circling, you know, and it was... I have never heard that much silence, you know, because you don't realize how much noise is created just every day. But you could literally go outside, and the only thing that we saw in this area were the C-5s from Travis. Of course, everything was on high alert near our Air Force Base here. It was the most quietest time I've ever heard, and it was just painful. It was a painful day, very painful.
Yeah. GOG, you know, we sit back and reflect on what happened on that fateful day. And I tell you, you know, I can't imagine being the family members that were people who were affected by this tragedy, because every year they have to relive just this horrible situation, this horrible time in their life. Because, you know, listen, we hurt as Americans, but, you know, listen, and I don't know this for sure. I know I didn't lose anyone personally that I knew during 9/11, but they did. They lost family members. You know, there are mothers out there that lost sons. There are wives out there who lost husbands. There are kids that were born that never knew their fathers. So, I mean, think about what happened to them and how they have to deal with this every year.
It had to be extremely painful. And it's something I'm sure, and I can't begin to even fathom, you know, what they go through, especially with, you know, all the focus that the annual occurrence of it gets. It's a pain I'm sure that they never can quite get, they never will get away from. It was a sobering and in a painful kind of way. Event for all of us. That particular morning that it happened, my former wife and I had just finished having breakfast, and of course, you know, she saw it on TV, and it initially saw it. She said, "Come here, this looks like a good movie on." But wow. having said that, how I wound up that morning at home with my former wife is the thing that I can't get away from. I was scheduled to be in New York that day on a business trip for something that I was working with. Okay. Goes a little bit further than that. My connecting flight from Baltimore would have been that Newark flight that flew into that building.
What?
And I saved the reservation number and information for what reason, I don't know, ever since that happened, but... The wake-up call for me, and you know, it's got to be 1,000 times worse for the people that had losses in it, in this thing, was You know, you look at it and you think, you know, you're like, wow, you know, I could have been in it. It makes you look at how fate brings certain people together for whatever reason. But the people that had these losses, and you said it earlier, that lost family members, husbands, wives, children, you know, that were perished in these attacks, my heart just goes out for them. I mean, it just gets heavy because. And to have them think and have to witness things like we saw yesterday, people celebrating on, you know, the eve or the annual occurrence of this event as opposed to remembering. Remember, yes, I think we should remember. And I think we should remember those that perished in it. But, you know, celebrate, to use the word celebrate and throw parties and, you know, that's kind of callous. That's kind of callous. And I think it further elevates the pain and the suffering that a lot of the people that were affected by this is going through.
Yeah, yeah. 347-850-1272 is the phone number. 347-850-1272 is the phone number. It's 19 minutes after the hour. And, you know, we are talking about, you know, 9/11, 9 years later. And, you know, Jerry Early, you put some comments in the chat room, but I definitely want to bring them on the air because there are people who listen to the show who never come to BTR and they just listen from other websites. And, you know, one of the things you said is that it makes you think of the day when JFK was, or Martin Luther King, when they were killed. Where were you when it happened? Not sure Jay Early may be on another phone call, but it reminds you of that time. You know, where were you when it happened? And it's almost like, you know what, this is a different topic, but, you know, the same type of effect. When Michael Jackson died, you know, people, once again, you know, and I'm not trying to compare the two, but because of the fact it was such something that was just, you couldn't believe what you were saying. You know, and so what I did was I sat down on the edge of my bed and I didn't move. I stayed there the whole day. I couldn't believe what was going on. And so then it was like, okay, you know, when the two planes hit, you knew something was going on. But then when they showed the Pentagon had gotten hit, I was worried because I served in the military. And so I had friends who worked in the Pentagon. And so I'm like, okay, let me call and see what's going on with them. And so it was just one of those days where, you know, like someone put in the chat room, the world stood still. No one did anything during that time frame.
And you know, that's true, man. As far as with me, once I finally woke up and realized that this is real, man, I think I spent probably the most time I ever sat at one sitting in front of the television set. And not only that, I had to call my cousin because she worked at the Pentagon. And, you know, it was just crazy. But, you know, when I had a flight going out the next day and I was debating, you know, if I should take the rental car and drive back to Texas or get on the plane.
Right.
And so what I did, I said, well, you know what? You know, the odds of this happening again the next day, you know, is nil, hopefully. So I went to the rental car place. Do you know there was not one rental car in the lot? And I think people were lining up to get the one that I turned in. That's just how crazy it was. And
wow.
When I went through the airport, man, it was like a ghost town. Even on the highway, you know, I mean, it was crazy. And so all I did, man, I just said a prayer and got on the plane. I mean, but you know, as far as just traveling, I mean, that was one of the craziest days for me traveling. I mean, not only was the security crazy, but it was just, the airport was empty. I mean, it was like, you know, I woke up and no one else was around. That's just how crazy it was the next day.
That's interesting because I thought that they grounded everything. So, and I can't remember when they lifted that. So the very next day you were able to fly?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It was either the next day or 2 days after.
Okay.
I can't really recall.
I believe they grounded.
Nevertheless, it was the airport was empty. So, but they did, the flights went out.
Yeah,
but you know what, Jay, one of the things that's really kind of, you know, important, and Rob actually touched on it, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about it a little more in depth, is not just, you know, what happened with September 11th, but how it has changed really a lot of our freedoms. We talk about living in a free society, but September 11th has really changed a lot of those freedoms that we used to have, namely our traveling freedom. You know, for those that are who are like me, who like to arrive at the airport late, you know, you're no longer able to really do that as much because of the TSA, who was implemented as a result of September 11th, and some of the other things that you're not able to do on an airplane anymore as a result. And we get mad about those inconveniences because we forget that September 11th, you know, was so monumental that now the protection of, you know, having that TSA there, of not allowing you to carry liquids on a plane, and, you know, all of those other things that we call inconveniences, but those things are actually in place because of September 11th. So, you know, I hope we are able to touch a little bit on that more in depth, because there's, you know, just so many other things that September 11th has left an indelible mark on our lives.
You're right. I mean, I remember the times where you would go and you can walk your loved one to the plane. You can watch them get on the plane and wave goodbye. You can watch them walk down the little, whatever that thing is called, that's connected between the plane and the building. You can watch them walk down that little thing. You can watch them get off the plane. But, you know, that has had a profound effect. And then think about it from this perspective. Think about the businesses that are now, you know, all the little, you know, airport restaurants and things of that nature, you know, because now they're located in the area where, you know, people who drop passengers off, they no longer have access to that. So from an economic standpoint, that had to have an effect on them as well. I think about that all the time when I go through the security checkpoint and I walk through there. It's like, okay, people are not going to be doing a whole lot of buying because they're going to get on the plane, and now that they're charging you for extra bags, I mean, what type of impact does that have on the people that's on those shops that are located behind the security lines, per se?
You know what? I think it had a profound effect because that there was a lot of, coverage in the business weeklies and the business journals that talked about the effect that September 11th had on the businesses that were in the concierges of the airports. In fact, if you go to some of the airports, you'll notice that the prices are even higher than they were, you know, pre 9/11. And the fact is, because they're not in the immediate future after September 11th, they weren't getting as many consumers. Slowly but surely, that turned around because you had no other options. But before September 11th, when you had the option of having your loved one come, and you could, you know, the airport was an event. You could sit, you can eat, and wait for someone to arrive, or you could, you know, sit and eat and hang out with that person who was getting on a plane. Now that you have this security mechanism, you're either forced to, number one, wait until you get to your other destination, or you're going to eat and you're going to pay some pretty hefty prices. I mean, you go and the average meal at even just McDonald's is $6 or $7 in an airport. Ridiculous, but, you know, so it's had an effect, but I think slowly but surely that trend is probably over. People have forgotten, we moved on.
Yeah, 26 minutes after the hour. Jay Earle, you're back with us, and we were just talking about 9/11 and what type of profound impact that it had on people, and we wanted you to share your thoughts.
Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Being around the military all my life, okay, especially, I have to speak from being over here in Germany because I've been over here since 74. The economics, not just the loss of lives, but the economic damage that did, I think, will be felt for years. I'm just going to take the block that I was on, which was very close to a military installation. You had, just in one town, you had 10 friends of mine, to include myself, we lost our businesses. Not just because, well, let's say, because of what happened on that day, but also because of the bad decision that the president made in sending our troops to the wrong country to attack the wrong group of people. You know, you had businesses that were supporting the military that went under, trying to wait for that war to be over, you know. So it's something that, you know, myself never thought would happen in America. I don't think anyone ever thought it would happen in America, that we would ever be attacked on our own land, you know. And then I started thinking about Hiroshima, you know, the bomb. I said, what are we going to do now? You know, what country are we going to punish? And then we went to the wrong country, you know. So it has caused people to lose businesses. It has broken up families. This is unrepairable damage, not just because of 9/11, but the decisions that were made by the people that were in the White House at that time has ruined lives that can never be healed again. That's my take on it, Jay.
Exactly. Exactly. Princess F.A., you are still alive. Is there something you'd like to say?
Yes, I just want to say that my heart definitely goes out to those that was lost on 9/11. And that's all I want to say. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, we're dead.
Can you hear me?
Maybe
hello?
Just Jay was lost, but if
Jay?
You guys are still listening.
No, I'm still here.
Jay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, I'm listening. Go ahead.
That was Prentice. She had ended her sentence. We were waiting on you.
Oh, okay, no problem. I'm sorry. I was trying to make sure that we still have a switchboard.
Amen.
You know how that goes. But once again, 9/11 is just one of those situations where when you sit back and think about, you know, where you were, who it affected. You know, Ms. Mo, you brought up a very good point about now the way we live, the world we live in is completely different now. I mean, you know, when this happened, you know, there were people, like, for example, I was watching a story yesterday about a mother who's Muslim, and we're going to be talking about this. One of the shows this week on the TGRS network is going to talk about how Muslims are being treated now after 9/11. Because let's be honest, when a Muslim gets on a plane with us, you know, a lot of us are doing the profiling thing. We are looking at them like, oh, my God. And it's almost like what black people went through when we were being unfairly profiled. So, you know, the world has changed as it is because, you know, now many people, and the story I was talking about was a Muslim mom, how her son, who was a medical student, he was nowhere near 9/11. He was nowhere near the World Trade Center when it happened, but when he heard the reports of the information or everything that was going on, he drove to the World Trade Center. And he ended up losing his life because he wanted to go down there and help people. You just don't know what type of effect this has had on people. And it's just, I mean, it's really hard to, it's this, 9/11 is a hard day for me. I'm not going to sit here and lie to anyone about it. It's a hard day for me. It really is because I witnessed this. This is not something I read about. I witnessed this. I saw people lose their lives live on TV. And, you know, I saw people jumping out of buildings. I mean, put yourself, you know, every time I get in a high rise now, I think about, wow, could I have jumped to try to, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry.
You know,
I was trying to speak. Go ahead.
You know, Jay and the panel and listeners, the one good thing that I saw with 9/11 that people don't talk about or don't give credit to is the aftermath. Directly after the aftermath and even into that week and weeks to follow, I saw a show of unity among people in New York that we talked about up to that point where the world, especially America, needed to get back to. It didn't matter if you were Muslim, black, white, red, Jewish, Baptist. During that aftermath, that show of unity and people helping people were really, it was really, really, really overwhelming. And that, if any good, you know, can be talked about, that's one thing I think we can pull away from it. And it's strange because all of that unity that was shown in that aftermath, we fast forward to 2010. And what do we have that week leading up to the eve or the annual day that occurred? We had everything except that. We had burning Bibles and Muslim hating going on and dissension everywhere. And, you know, that's the one thing that I saw in New York out of 9/11, that if people really want to look to something, they can pull away from that. Was that it? Didn't there was no color, no religion in New York in that aftermath.
Right. Everyone, like they said, were New Yorkers on that day. That's going to have to be the final word, folks. I tell you what, it's been very good conversation this morning. Remembering 9/11, everyone remembers where they were when it happened. All right, folks, 32 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, before we go, and look at some news stories that made the news this past week. You're listening to the Sirius Side of the TJRS right here on BTR Radio. Good morning.
This is your resident map of the South, Mom to Little Donna, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The J-Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The J-Rouse Show, every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The J-Rouse Show, a show for women, by women.
It's time for, before we go, a quick look at some news stories, some stories that made news this past week. Tehran is saying that they are going to release one of the captured hikers, the female that was captured when they strayed over into Iran. It looks like they're going to have bond for this person. This has been too long, GOT. They need to release all three of those young people.
Absolutely. Let them go. Stop playing games. These people have nothing to do with anything. Tournament.
Yeah, now, they're saying, Rob Smooth, that this is an eternal battle between the old-school Iran and the new-school Iran, basically because the president wants them released, but the judicial council is saying no, but it looks like now they've come to a compromise.
Right. Actually, I think they already released on one of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think the story is that they're about to release her, I think, on a $500,000 bail, something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that could be just a money thing, to get some money for their call.
Could be. You may be right about that. Ms. Mo, there's a study released this week saying that women love to watch men dance with their torsos and with their necks. What say you?
I think women just love to watch men dance.
Oh, okay. Rob, do you dance with your torso and your neck?
Oh no, I'm gonna defer that over to Gio. I mean,
thanks a lot. No,
I think we deserve to have an answer to that question.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Yeah, please.
But I'm gonna have Gio.
I don't dance with my torso and my neck. I tend to move everything below the belt.
Oh my goodness. The NFL season starts today. And I tell you what, GOG, what are some of the games that you're looking for?
I'm looking at what is it? The Cowboys and
Redskins.
Redskins, and I don't know how that escaped me. I'm looking at that one. Looking at that one real close. Donovan McNabb in particular.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be the equalizer. I can't wait. I can't wait to see any of that stuff.
Me either.
Time for Chatterbox. Time to take a look at some of the comments in the chat room. Some of the comments. And one of the things I want to put out there, Literary Diva wrote, each and every day that we are blessed to open our eyes is a good day. Treasure those moments no matter good or bad. That was well said. I really and truly love that comment. GOG, what do you have for the chat room?
I'm looking at, actually, I was looking at the same thing in part that she had put that down very good. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of stuck in the chat room right now. Nothing's moving because it's just refreshed.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Gracious One wrote, we are so worried about being protected, but we still allow illegal immigrants into this country. They're coming in from somewhere. Do you agree with that statement, Rob Smooth?
Actually, yeah, I do. And what's so funny about it, that's the one that I wrote down. So thank you there, Jay. But yeah, that is true.
Hey, man, I am on top of it. The Chatterbox is in full effect. Just trying to make sure that people who are not here can hear some of the things that are going on in the chat room. It's been a live show today. Coming up next Sunday morning, live, we're going to step out for one last break, folks, and we're going to put a bow on this thing. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the Serious Side.
This is AP Radio News. The man behind the attacks, Osama bin Laden, is still out of reach.
President Barack Obama says the Al-Qaeda leader is holed up in a way that makes it hard for him to operate.
Bin Laden has gone deep underground.
Counterterrorism officials say Bin Laden and other Al-Qaeda leaders thought in hiding in Pakistan along the mountainous border with Afghanistan have been hurt and degraded over the past 9 years. Teams continue to search the rubble of a San Bruno, California neighborhood for any more victims of Thursday's massive gas line explosion and fire that's known to have killed 4 people. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, it was another day, another outstanding day here on the Sirius side of the TGRS. And, folks, you make it possible. And we are slowly but surely becoming your favorite spot on Sunday morning. So before you go to church, grab a cup of coffee and come hang out with the crew. Just a lively conversation today, COG.
Oh, absolutely. And three lively topics, very pertinent topics. I enjoyed it. I want to thank the listeners for tuning in and supporting us.
Absolutely. Miss Ma, I tell you what, another show gone, but another day. Mission accomplished, don't you think?
Absolutely. I don't know if anybody started their day out today without the show, but this is the place to be on Sunday mornings. And I think we're giving them, or we could give Fox News a run for their money if we have a platform. So if you're listening to the show this morning, you need to tell somebody to tune in on Sunday morning, send an email, send a text message, the carrier pigeon, smoke screens, whatever you need to do, smoke signal. Let somebody know. Don't come by yourself next week. That's a plug for the show.
A shameless plug, we might add. Rob Smooth, man, we had fun. Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah. After that one, yes, I had a great time. And I want to just piggyback on what Ms. Mo said. But I'm still curious, Gio. You dance from the hips only, huh? I can tell by what you're saying.
Okay, Rob. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And on that note, we're going to take it around the table for final thoughts. Rob Smooth, you're up first.
Well, always keep 9/11 in your mind and your heart, but don't let that stop you from doing the things that you love and just enjoy the memories, the good ones.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct. Well said, my friend. Ms. Long, final thought.
You know, I think as we look at the topics that we've talked about today, we can mirror them with anything that goes on in life, and that's to appreciate each and every day and hopefully use your days for something that is good, that's edifying, that will bring change to this world. First, you've got to start with the man or woman in the mirror, but hopefully you can spread that outward, and we can make this world a better place.
Well said, my friend. And of course, it's always, it always falls on GOG. GOG, final thoughts, sir.
Embrace the light that we have while we're here. And from incidents such as 9/11, extract the good from them. Learn from them. Continue to move forward. Continue to heal. Pretty much it.
You know, folks, September 11th had a profound effect on my life. I will never look at that day as the same. And, of course, people can say that we could have looked into the fact that it was on 9/11. We should have put the pieces to the puzzle together. But to be perfectly honest with you, we were caught off guard. And what happens is terrorist attack when the security and everything is lax. Folks, always stay on your toes. Stay diligent. Make sure you keep your eye on the prize. And remember, folks, the people who lost their lives on that fateful day. So, my friend, GOG. If it is Sunday morning and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rouse Show.
Oh, my goodness, it is, folks. Listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We hope you enjoyed the show. Coming up next Sunday morning live, music of love and inspiration. Keep it right here. So for GOG, Miss Small, Rob Fool, for all of us here on the serious side, we love you. Take care. We'll see you back here next Sunday. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
FM is KJM Jams, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live, music of love and inspiration, which happens every Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on BTR Radio. We want you guys to sit back and relax and enjoy 30 minutes of commercial-free music, which starts right now.
keep it locked. smooth jams.
It's all about the 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 smooth jams on 96.3 FM KKNW.